Hi, this is Chris Morgan, Senior Pastor of Cornerstone Fellowship Church. We're a non-denominational, full gospel church located in Matthews County, Virginia. Thank you for listening to today's message. We believe you'll be encouraged. For more information about us, visit gocfc.com. God bless and enjoy.
In the series that I've just entitled, This Faith Life, amen. One of the things that we need to be reminded of is, you know, there's a lot of things that we think we please God by, you know, like our good works. And God, you know, you're not saved by works. You'll be rewarded by works once you're saved, we don't work for our salvation. But once we get saved, then works become a byproduct of our new nature and as being a child of God. So we will one day be rewarded by that. But what really pleases God in everything is our faith, because without faith, it's impossible to please God. So this faith life is addressing a number of things that will help us in our faith walk with God, because heaven to know, it is a faith walk. That means it's a faith life. It's a lifestyle. Amen. And so we're currently addressing real life issues and problems, because we all have real life issues and problems. We all got things that we go through. Things happen in life because we still live in a fallen world. Amen. And 2/3 of us yet are still to be finally redeemed. What do you mean by that, Pastor Chris? Well, when you got saved, you got your salvation as far as spirit, your spirit was made complete and made new. Okay? But your mind isn't saved yet. It has to be renewed. Amen. It's called in James chapter 1, the saving of our soul. That means the Romans 12:2, which if we get to tonight, we'll see it means the renewing of our mind. So our minds aren't saved yet. So God told us to do something with our minds. We're to renew them with the Word of God, because without thinking right, we'll never believe right. Okay? And then without thinking and believing right, we'll never receive the right things. We are sum total of what we believe, nothing more, nothing less. So if we don't like where we're at, let's realize this. Let's take responsibility and realize that we are the issue, and we can change that. The good news is we can change it. So the other part of us that's not saved yet is waiting for Christ's return and the rapture for us is our bodies. So 2/3 of us are still awaiting a redemption, the complete part of our redemption. Our spirits are new, our minds have to be renewed, and our bodies are waiting for that resurrection that will occur for us, I believe, if at the rapture of the church. But regardless, when that happens, that will be when we get our new body. Amen. So why am I saying that? Because we live in a fallen world, and we're not perfect yet as far as our mind and our body goes. We still face issues. Issues like we've addressed worry, fear, and now sickness and disease. But we're learning that no matter what the problem we face is, the answer is always the same. It's called the Word of God. That's where we're to find our answers, and that gives us good news, because the truth is, if we can read or we can listen, then we can get our answer. Because God gives us an open book test. Amen. I mean, they don't have to be no cheaters in this. God just wants us to know. He gives us all the answers. We just have to know where to look. But we know they're confined to these 66 books right here called the Bible. So what we're doing is, you know, when I say we've learned that no matter what the problem we face is, whether it's worry, fear, or sickness and disease, you know, one of the things that we have to realize is that we have to first learn that God doesn't want us to live this way anymore. There's so many people that when you say something about worry, my God, they think that that's something that's like the pet cat. That's something you got to have. Or fear, there's nothing you could do with that. And most definitely, there's nothing you can do about sickness and disease, because it's here. Look at it. I mean, and all those things. But the first thing that we have to learn to do is realize that's not how God wants His children to live. They may happen in our lives. We all face those same things. But God says we can win over them, and they don't have to be a part of our life nor win over us. So what we're doing is finding out what God's Word says about the problems that we all face and then learning how to take what God has said about it and win over it with His Word. Amen. And what we're finding out, what we're doing is finding out what God's Word says about these problems that we all face. So we take it one at a time. We've looked at worry, we looked at fear because they're two big ones, and now we're looking at sickness and disease. We've taken several weeks to look at this because this is something that we all face, but we can all win over. And I think we can all look in our lives and see times that we lost the battle, maybe there, but we ultimately are winning the victory because we're still here. Praise the Lord. And the truth is we can win all the time because the Word of God has provided victory for us. So the key is knowledge. So tonight's message is the key is knowledge. Amen. Turn again with me to 2 Peter chapter 1, and we're going to read three verses here, beginning with verse 2. Good to see all of you tonight. Amen. You glad to be in church tonight? Praise God. Thank God for all you folk online tonight. Do get your, I know you might be in your pajamas or you might be comfortable, but grab your Bible and something to write with. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. It says, grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3, according as His divine power had given to us all things. Everybody say all things. All things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge. Everybody say the knowledge. The knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Verse 4. Whereby are given. That means whereby. Go, reverts back to verse 2 and 3. Talking about the knowledge of God. Whereby are given to us exceeding great precious promises. That by these we may be partakers of the divine nature. Having escaped the corruption that is the world through lust. Amen. Now if we go back to verse 2, 3, and 4 and study this really quickly tonight, because we have looked at this before, but grace and peace in verse 2, notice it comes how? Through the knowledge of God. Grace and peace comes to us, you know, through the knowledge of God. Amen. And then verse 3, it says, as His divine power have given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that called us by glory and virtue. Notice it adds all things, not some things, not a few things, but all things that pertain to life and godliness. How? Through the knowledge of God. So listen, this is why I say the key is knowledge, because the knowledge of God is the key to our victory, because it covers all things. Not a few things, not some things, but all things, notice, that pertain to life and godliness. So what does it mean when God's Word says life and godliness? Well, to the life that God designed and destined for us to experience and live. That's what that's talking about. That is an all-encompassing statement. Everything that it pertains to the life of God that He designed for us to experience and to live by. And once again, it comes through the knowledge of God. Our knowledge of God. See, it has to be our knowledge of God. Not just knowledge, but it has to be our knowledge of what God has said. So this means since it says all things, everybody say all things. So it means that no matter what you're dealing with tonight, I know we're just talking about sickness and disease, but we talked about worry, we talked about fear. Whatever that topic would be, would include all things, would include whatever you're facing tonight. Everything that you're facing tonight. So it's not too big for God, and it's not too big for you to know that there's an answer. Because this means that we have grace, peace, joy, healing, salvation, deliverance, and whatever else God has provided or promised, it comes to us one way, through the knowledge of God or our knowledge of God. Notice it's through the knowledge of God that we are giving exceedingly great and precious promises. Wow. So the Word of God is the knowledge of God. We all know that. It contains God's thoughts. Remember in Isaiah 55, God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, saith the Lord. And it doesn't mean that we can't have His thoughts. He just says, until you learn what I say, you don't have my thoughts. That's what he's saying. It doesn't mean, when he says my thoughts are not your thoughts, don't mean that we can't have his thoughts. It just means if you don't know what his word says about it, you don't have his thought on it yet. Because his word reveals his thoughts. Amen. And so we know this. This is why the key is knowledge, or knowledge is the key to our victory. It is the key to our victory. Amen. So and that includes sickness and disease in all its forms. Amen. So the reason knowledge is key to our victory is because, never forget this, get it straight, never forget it, God works through knowledge. God works, if you want to know how God works in the earth, I keep saying it, but it's so important. It's so important. If you wonder how God works, he's not mysterious in all his ways. Not the things he's revealed. Now, there's things that the Bible calls mysteries, all through even the New Testament. But the word mystery there means things that were hidden before, now revealed. Remember one of those great mysteries? Christ in you, the hope of glory. One of those great mysteries was the dispensation of the church age. And the list goes on of things that the Bible calls mysteries. But when you read that, read it in context, and in the New Testament, these mysteries that, I tell you another mystery, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all die, but we shall all be changed. And a moment, and a tweaking of eye, what is that called? It's called the rapture. The rapture was a mystery. The church was a mystery. Christ in us, the hope of glory, was a mystery. Jew and Gentile becoming the church, the body of Christ, was a mystery. Things that were hidden under the Old Testament, they were concealed there, they were hidden there, but revealed now in the New Testament for us to know, understand, and partake in. Amen. So know that God works through knowledge. Amen. But not just any knowledge. He works through his knowledge. So God works in our life through knowledge, what we know and believe about him. What we know and believe about him. So don't stop with the statement that God alone works through knowledge. He does work through knowledge, but he works in our life by through what we know. That means we've got to have knowledge of his word and what we believe about him. Because our knowledge of him was designed to produce something. You know what it's called? Faith. Our knowledge of him, all of God's knowledge was designed to produce faith in us. Why? So that we could be partakers of all these promises. Amen. And so God has no other reason for putting promises in his word other than them to be fulfilled in our lives. That's how much he loves us. Amen. And so God works through knowledge, but what we know and believe about him. So the key is knowledge, but what we have to understand is the reason that God gives us knowledge is so that faith can come to us. Because faith comes by how? By hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You know what that's called? Knowledge. And so the knowledge that we obtain from God, God designed to produce faith for us to believe, not take it passively, not to be passive about it, or just say, well, I don't know if I believe that or not. Let me just tell you something. Who are you tonight? Are you a child of God? The Bible calls you a believer. The Bible calls you a believing one. Wake up every morning and wake up and say, God, here I am, your child, a believer. I am a believing one, and today these signs shall follow me. In your name I'll cast out devils. In your name I'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Come on. That's what it says the believing one would do. See, the devil wants you to always view yourself as someone else other than God says you are. He wants to pervert the knowledge that you have about God, about yourself, so that you never rise up to the level that God has and says about you. Because the moment you do, his jig is up. In other words, you will begin to exercise your authority over him in your life. Because you do not have authority in everybody else's life. And there's things actually you do not have authority about over in this world. But one thing you do have authority over is the works of the devil when it comes to your life. When he shows up in your life with his works, you can say no. No, no, no. What are some of his works, Pastor Chris? How about sin? Come on. How about wrong thinking? That's works. He interjects wrong thoughts in our life because everything that's destructive comes in seed form in our life. And it comes first with a thought. And so sin, how about sickness and disease? How about any powers of darkness that would come to bring oppression or depression against you? See, you got to stop pacifying that stuff and stop saying that's just me or that I can't help myself and all those kind of things. Stop it. Take authority over it. That's siding with the devil. We got to learn these things. Because when we read the Bible, our knowledge of God's Word will cause us to rise up to see who we are, what we have, and what we can do. Praise God. And so God works in our lives through knowledge. What we know and ultimately believe about Him. It's not just knowing it. It's knowing it and believing it. That means you acted on it. Believing means you're going to act on it. See, a lot of times people say, oh, I know that. Oh, I know that. I've said that. But oh, I know that. But you ain't doing it. Or you ain't acting like you. Come on. Well, I know it says, but. I see all my bills. I see how I feel. I see what's going on. I don't see no change in that situation. As long as you're going by your feelings and as long as you're going by your sight, you are not walking by faith. Amen. Oh, we've all been there and done that. Touch three people and say, he's telling the truth right now. Praise the Lord. Come on. I'm just telling you, we all deal with these things. Amen. So we just as well, instead of getting mad at ourselves or getting mad at me, just get mad at the devil and say, no more. Blessed be God. I'm learning. I'm learning. I'm learning. Hallelujah. So here's something. So I'm going to say this again. God works through knowledge, what we know about, believe about Him. Now, we said this last week, and so if that statement is true, and it is, we got Bible for it right there, what we just read tonight. So we can conclude this. If we're lacking something in our life, since this promise through the knowledge of God, we can possess all things that pertain to life and godliness, not some things, not a few things, not if you jump through a number of hoops they're already given you, but they're given through the knowledge of what we know and believe about God. If that is true, we can conclude this, that if we're lacking something in life, we have a knowledge problem. That's the problem we're really having. That's what we're really having. That's what we're really having. Let's get to the root of it. Because the antidote to any problem, including sickness and disease, is the knowledge of God. And in this case, it's knowing that God is His will for divine healing in your life. But you know what? When I say the antidote to any problem is if we're lacking something, let me say it like this. If we're lacking something in our life, then the real problem is a knowledge problem. You know, most people don't believe that. Let me give you a couple examples. They think that if you have an emotional problem, the answer is just take a pill for it. There's a lot of that going on. Now, I'm not putting anybody, and listen, if you're there, that's where you're at. I'm trying to get you out of that. And I'm not putting you down. But if you think that a pill for every ill is the answer, then that's not the answer that God has for His children. That may be how the world thinks, but God didn't ask you to think that way. Now, once again, I'm not against the doctor, I'm not against the medicine, but I am for God and God's way above that. And thank God we have the other because they kept many Christians alive and many people alive. But let's realize that that if we're having emotional problem, an answer or the problem is a knowledge problem. And the answer isn't just taking another pill. Because many people think, well, this problem has nothing to do, whatever they're going through, they've never admitted to the fact that the problem they're going through has nothing to do with them or possibly the choices that they've made in life. Because until we take ownership, we can't change anything. Many people think that when something happens in their life that's going up like this, like we're talking about, if they emotional problem, it could be anything. I'm just giving that example. They have no responsibility whatsoever. It's like you hear stuff like this. Well, it's just, and please, I'm trying to help us. I'm really not trying to be critical. Please understand. But sometimes we have to get, you know, I like to be able to. And sometimes I know you have to meet people where they're at. I'm not always like this, but I remember ministering to this, you got to know who your audience is. I don't have time to pussyfoot around with you church folk. Come on. My church. This church, what I mean by that is you grown up past me pacifying you. I'm looking at home folk here. You're bigger than this. You ain't gonna get offended by me telling you, because some of the things I'm telling you, yes, you need to know, but you need to know for that person you're gonna talk to tomorrow or the next day, because you're gonna help them. Amen. So I call it, sometimes you just need to know who you're talking to, but sometimes you just gotta give people spiritual slaps. Amen. But you got to know who can handle them. You can handle them. That's why I'm giving you a spiritual slap tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise. I think I told that story. I won't tell it again. But yeah, I mean, I will tell it. You know, when you have a person to sit across from you in the house, I'll never forget. I told the story. It might have been last week. I don't know. But anyway, it don't make it no difference. You need to hear it again. We went ministered to a person. This was back. This one when we were pastors. We were you ministers at this church. We were back in the little storefront church. We ain't been saved that long. Maybe 2 or 3 years, probably. And a visitor comes into the church. Young girl. She comes to the church, sits in the back. Pastor Debbie goes and talks to her, and she was kind of isolated in the back by herself. She went and talked to her. As we always went out before the service, and we were going all through the congregation, we want the pastors. We're believers. We're children of God. Amen. We know that we're supposed to be friendly to one another and love on one another. She went to her, and then she found that there was obviously some issues during the praise and worship. She left, and it was because she got under conviction. Well, we found out where the phone number is and called her and where she lived, and she let us come. But when we got there, and she looked at us, when you have a person looks at you and says, and they says, but you don't understand, I'm talking about Jesus. After 30 minutes of talking about Jesus, you don't understand. I want to kill people. Well, what she was meaning was, I want to kill the person that abused me when I was a child and did these horrible things to me, like many people that have that memory of in this place tonight, maybe. And so I realized right then that my approach to her needed to change. Because she didn't need just nice, she needed direct. And so she ends up getting saved that night, and about 2 weeks later, we received a phone call one afternoon. She comes in, she calls Pastor Debbie, and she says, you'll never guess what just happened. She said, I just come off out of my front yard cutting grass. She was crying, and she says, I'm free, I'm free, I'm free. God showed me I had to forgive the family member that did this to me. And we didn't even know what all that back then, what all that was. We didn't want to know. We just thought it had been a long time. And she said, but I'm free. I'm free. And ever since that time, there were several times that we had to minister to that. And I just never cut her any slack about anything. I just gave her spiritual slaps. I said, here it comes. I'm going to give you a spiritual slap right now. She said, thank you, Pastor Chris. That's just what I needed. Sometimes that's what we need. We need direct truth. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. But let me say this to the other side of the coin. Speak the truth in love. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, I spoke it in love, but I was very direct with her because from then on, and I just said, you know, I'm not going to mess with you. I'm going to give you a spiritual slap. She could handle it. Praise the Lord. Amen. Because here's what a lot of people will say when they're going through stuff. This is, you know, it's just the way I've always been. It's just the way my hormones are, my chemistry. Or it's, like I said before, it's just what so-and-so did to me. And the devil convinces people day in and day out that they are a victim. And as long as they think and believe that they're a victim, they will never be a victor. They'll never be the victor that God has already declared them to be in His Word. Well, you know why they will never get there? Because as long as we have any excuses, all excuses are wrong in the light of God's Word. And what I mean is, it may be true what happened to you, but to stay there when you have the knowledge of God's Word, the light of God's Word does not give us the right to stay in a past of what's happened to us or be trapped by that. It tells us how to win over it. And for us to side in that there's nothing I could do or poor pitiful me or whatever. So what the real problem is what I'm trying to get us to understand is a knowledge problem. What we know and believe about Him. It ain't what happened to you, honey. It's what you don't know that happened on your behalf to change what happened to you. What Jesus did in His death, burial, and resurrection changes everything. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So what are we to do when we do? What am I to do? Well, we need to accept responsibility. If we have a knowledge problem, accepting responsibility just simply means we go to God's Word. We go to the Bible and we find out what God's Word says and start thinking according to God's Word. The first step is realize I got a knowledge problem. You say, well, I know what the Bible says. But what I'm saying is, listen, you may even know what the Word says. A lot of people don't, though. But you may know what the Word says, but as long as you allow what your eyes to see and your body feels outweigh what the Word says, you still got a knowledge problem. Because you're believing in sense knowledge, not revelation knowledge. That's our problem. We have to make that choice. So what are we going to do? Oh, this is why we're here tonight. Help our thinking. Amen. Help our thinking. Remember, key is knowledge, but that knowledge has to change how we think. How we think. Let's look at two verses. Proverbs 23, verse 7. Proverbs 23, 7 says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he, as he thinks in his heart. You know, thank God that we just can't look into each other's minds. Come on. You talking about something depressing? Could be, possibly. Look at your neighbor and say, not mine, praise the Lord, amen. I'm renewing mine, praise the Lord, amen. Well, what I mean by that is, you know, it would be true, and it was true, until we get saved and understand what to do with our mind. Okay, and even once we know what to do with our mind, having to know we still battle some wrong thoughts. Because Satan comes to interject suggestions and wrong thoughts to our mind. Notice, listen, I told you, we're there. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. That implies how you think, the you that you think will be the you that you will be. Hallelujah. I like that picture that Pastor Delano, she still has that. She used to have it. A little picture in her office. It was a picture of a stand-up mirror. It was a little kitty cat, little tabby cat standing in front of it. But in the mirror side of it, it looked like a big lion. Amen. So that's how he saw himself. Amen. That's how you have to see yourself. You ever seen a little teeny old feist dog like this run off a big dog like this? I guarantee you that little fellow saw himself bigger than that on the inside. Come on. Amen. So we have to, you that you see will be the you that you will be. Praise the Lord. So in other words, what I'm saying is we have to think right. It begins with our thinking. The key here is that we have to change how, the key is knowledge, but that knowledge has to change how we think. That knowledge has to affect our thinking. If we just read it and say, I read it, and that's how I got my three chapters in today, praise the Lord. And we never think about it again until we see somebody and say, oh, word up, I got my three chapters in today, but we never apply it, we never are confessing it, we never praying over, mulling over in our thought life, then we're not there where we need to be yet. I'm not trying to be funny. This is what we do. These are learned behaviors. These are things we have to learn. And the sooner we learn them, the better off we are. Because the Bible says we have to cast down. So a lot of times people are trapped at this, especially until you learn. Especially young believers in the Lord, not just because you're at 17, 18. But that will happen. But you can be 35. You could be 65 and feel this way because you're young in the Lord. When you have these thoughts that come up to your mind, remember the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter, write it down, chapter 10, verse 4 and 5. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought, every thought, every thought. See, where the devil traps a lot of people at is they know, the believer knows that the thought in their mind is wrong, but the devil tells them that's their thought. Oh, look at you. You're a dirty dog. You thought about her. You thought about him. You thought about this. You thought about that. Oh, and you're like, oh. And you take it like it's your thought. Listen, the Bible says casting down all imaginations. That means it don't make any difference where that thought came from, whether it came from, most of them are going to come from the devil. But whether that came from the devil or came from something you heard or someone else or came from your own mind, who cares where it come from? Don't take it. Cast it down. Destroy it. And the way you do that is by changing not just your thoughts. You have to think differently, but you have to take the word and speak against it. Take the word and speak against it. Take the word and speak about it. Speak against it. Jesus said, it is written. Remember when the devil said, oh, surely you're hungry. If you're the Son of God, turn the stone into bread. And Jesus said, man does not live by bread alone, by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So you gotta realize that it begins. If the change begins when you think differently, okay? But you're thinking about, the thought you're thinking about is what God's Word says. Then you're going to take God's Word and speak against to destroy what has come against you. So you don't believe that. The devil wants you to believe that. Oh, you dirty dog. See, he wants to steal your faith. He wants you to make you feel like you can't pray, you're so unworthy, because after all, oh my God, if everybody, I hate it when Pastor Chris walks back here because surely he can read my mind. I've had people tell me that. I had family members come and tell me and say, my daughter don't really want to, I mean, she's really nervous when you start walking around, Pastor Chris, because she thinks you can read her mind. I said, well, give her the good news, I can. And I said, no, don't. I said, tell her that and then say, don't be so foolish. Pastor can't read your mind. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I don't want to read your mind. I want to tell you what the Word says. Now, if God permitted that, then that would only be not to humiliate you, but to help you. Okay? But that's not how God works. He wants to work by you hearing the Word and making knowing how to work that Word in your life. He's not here to humiliate you. The devil wants you to be humiliated. And he's sitting there and saying, see, you don't deserve any of this. You can't do this. Look at everybody else is rejoicing, is happy. But look what happened to you today. And you're so weak and you're so this and you ain't all that and whatever. Well, I'm talking about the enemy. Yours and mine. Have to change how you think. Isaiah 26, 3 and 4. Here's what it says. Thou will keep him in perfect peace. See, that's one of the things that we can have. Peace, joy, grace, healing. Oh, how? Through the knowledge of God. What we know and believe about him. That will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee. Listen, we're going to have to, our mind stays on something. Oh, not mine, Pastor Chris. I can tell you it goes down the four-lane highway. It's six lanes. I made six lanes today, Pastor. Praise the Lord. Come on. I've been there. Got the T-shirt. We've all been there. But we have to learn to do this. Mind stayed on him. You say, Pastor Chris, that means I got to do all this. I got to do this all the time. Yeah, welcome to the club. If you want to be free, it gets easier after you learn to do it. When you get all that wrong stuff out and don't accept it, understand that a lot of that stuff that's coming in that was there never belonged there. It came from the devil. You don't want it there anymore. And it's easy to get it out because now you know the word, you know the truth, and the truth makes you free. Hallelujah. You're not a victim. Look at your neighbor and say, you're not a victim. Look at your other neighbor and say, you're a victor and so are they. Praise the Lord. It says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Got to keep our mind going back to the word. That's no wonder it says that we're to meditate day and night. He said, well, Pastor Chris, that's real good for you because you're an old man now and this is all you got to do. I mean, you're the preacher. I'm a mess. Pastor Dev says, move on. Praise the Lord. Listen, if I didn't do this before I was the preacher, I would never gotten to be the preacher. Because this is a new way that you have to learn to live. It's just the way that it is. And you find out, you know, you can have it your way. You can let your mind go in six-lane highways. I've been on some of them. 10:30 at night, one night we came back from a meeting. I'm like, what in the world, Washington? No wonder I don't want to live up here. 10 o'clock at night, five lanes of packed highway, and I mean, it was all moving, praise God. I can't imagine what it was 4 o'clock that afternoon. But see, what I'm saying is you can't let your mind do that. You can, but you know what? You will be just as nervous. You will be all, oh, my goodness, pulling your hair out, all worried. Isn't it better? I'm telling you, if you want peace, health, longevity, victory, you're going to have to do it God's way. And it begins with replacing the devil's thoughts with God's thoughts and thinking, letting that get in your mind so that when those thoughts come, you just got your shield of faith up. They come bouncing off. You say, I recognize that. That's not me. That's not mine. I don't think so. Not today, not tomorrow, not ever. Because you trust in thee. I mean, that's called faith. And then I got to move on. Verse 4, it goes on and says, trust ye in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. If we want strength, if we want peace, if we want health, if we want healing, then we have to understand our thinking is vital. Because it always precedes our believing. See, you can't change your believing until you change your thinking. And you can't change your believing without the correct knowledge. So the key is knowledge, because with it comes the power to change how you think. Because when you get glimpses that God says this for you, it gives you a hope in a future you didn't have before, baby. And you begin to wield that sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, and begin to defeat the devil on this front and then that front. And, it, you know, you think about, you know, everybody wants an instant everything. Have you noticed that even the drive-thrus today are slow? I don't go through many of them, but Now, Chick-fil-A does pretty good, praise the Lord. But a lot of them, could you pull up there and just, you know, wait? Yeah, we're sorry we don't have help, you know. I get it. Okay, praise the Lord. See, that bleeds over to the church because we just want it all now. But even the children of Israel, when they went and possessed their promised land, they didn't do it all in one day. When you read it, it took time. The enemies, it took them time. And you know, that's what the... So what I'm saying is these problems that we're facing, you're going to take them one at a time. I mean, there are times that you get a double. You know, anybody know what I mean? You get a double. I mean, any hunters in here, you know what it is? Or triple or something. In other words, you might kill two or three things at one time, but most of them are going to be a one-time thing. You're going to deal with this, and you're going to win over this, and then this has been... Then there's something else going to hit you, but you know what? You're well able to possess it. This is why you keep coming and feeding your faith and starving your doubts. Say, I'm a believer. Amen. Praise God. Because until you change how you think, you're powerless to change your life. To change your life, you have to change how you think. Romans 12:2. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Hallelujah. Notice how our life is going to be transformed by the renewing of mind. When it says don't be conformed to this world, one translation says don't let the world around you squeeze you into its mold. How does the world around you squeeze you into its mold? By number one, its suggestions, its words, its propaganda. Come on, the things you see and hear all around you. Well, you know, Pastor, you're going to die of something one day. You know, my mama had it, my daddy had it, and I'm sure I got it. I'm pretty sure you're right, praise the Lord. See, but sometimes we have to hear those things because the average person doesn't have a clue that they're not trapped in by their family history. You have a new DNA, you have a new bloodline, and you have a new life in Christ. And you have been redeemed from the curse of the law, unless we don't have that knowledge, unless we don't believe that knowledge. I know there's some things that are genetically true, but it doesn't mean that trumps the Word of God. God's Word is still greater than all the other stuff. Hallelujah. So how we think will determine both what we believe and what we can receive from God. So through the knowledge of God, like this, He is my healer. When's the last time you call Him healer? See, we should, just like He's our Lord and Savior, we should call Him our healer. Well, I don't know why I should say that, Pastor Chris. I got something going on in my body. Hey, you better say, there's no better time than saying it. They're saying it right now. I mean, the person that gets born again has to call Him Lord and Savior before they're born again to be born again. Come on. So it's certainly not wrong to wake up in the morning, if you're a child, and call Him what He is. He wants to be that to you. And by saying, calling Him that, I mean, you're calling Him that for you. You're calling it in your life. What are we calling Him? He's healer. So through the knowledge of God, He is our healer, and His will for us is for us to be healed. We got to settle that. I don't care what's happened to us. Things happen. Things happen to us all. Doesn't make it still doesn't change the fact that it's God's will to heal the person. Well, I don't know, Pastor Chris. I know. I got the Bible for it. I'm not trying to be sarcastic. Think about this. Here's a great example. Matthew 17. Jesus is up, transfigured. Moses and Elijah shows up. Three of His disciples there fall under the power. They see Moses and Elijah talking to Jesus about what He's going to accomplish in Jerusalem. And He's transfigured before them. He talks to them. He comes, you know, Peter, big mouth Peter, says, oh, Lord, you know, oh, it's good for us to be here. Let us build. You understand the story. Jesus said, don't tell nobody about what's happened until after I rose again from the dead. So they come on down, and there's a big commotion, big ruckus. Man with a son, demon-possessed son, has come to the disciples. Jesus said, whoa, what's going on? He said, the father said, hey, I brought my son for your disciples to heal, but they couldn't heal him. They couldn't do it. And so, a lot of times people just say, well, see, that just means it's not God's will for God to heal everybody. Because, look, Jesus' disciples couldn't heal. So Jesus asked the man a few questions, and then you know what Jesus did? Jesus freed and healed that man's son. You know what that shows you? You know what that shows you? It shows you this. When we fail to receive, it doesn't change the fact that it's still God's ultimate will to heal, because Jesus showed when his disciples even couldn't, Jesus showed up and said, I can. Awesome. And you say, well, I don't have Jesus here. You got his word. And that's the only way we can receive. That's the way we receive salvation, we receive healing, we receive anything else. So my point is, we have to believe that it is his will for us in order for that to happen. You have to get your thinking straightened out, and then your believing will be right. Think on 1 Peter 2:24, whose own self bore our sin in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin shall live by his righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. First, Isaiah 53:5. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Matthew 8:16-17. I'm going to quote it from a different translation that's up. But when evening was come, they brought unto him many that was brought unto him, Jesus, many that were possessed with devils. He cast out the spirits with his word, and he healed all that were sick. He only did what the will of the Father was. Healed all that were sick, that it may be fulfilled that which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took away my sicknesses, himself removed my diseases. When we get our thinking straightened out, then our believing will be right. Then we can receive anything from God. He promises, because in Mark 9:23, Jesus said to the man, he said, all things are possible to him that believeth. So I'm just encouraging us tonight. Just start thinking like the believer you are. Just let your mind just agree with the word. See, you really believe with your heart, not with your mind. Your mind gets renewed. You just agree with your mind, but you really believe with your heart. So has your mind ever given you a problem before? Sure it has. Because you really don't believe. You need to agree with your mind, but you get the word in your heart. But it has to come through your mind. It's our job. It's saying, I'm just trying to do some mental gymnastics to believe that word. No, you believe with your heart. Just agree with it. Say, this is who I am. Agree. I am the healed. I am the redeemed. I am the delivered. And we'll find out what we really believe when it feels different. Or something happens different. How would we know if we really believe? We can say we believe. How would we know that we really believed until we had something to test it against? So don't let it all blow. Come on, Brother Ryan, and rescue me over here. Praise the Lord. Hey, tonight I think they're getting ready to pull out the tomatoes. Amen. No, I'm just playing. Y'all are awesome. Y'all are awesome. Say this with me. I am a believer. I'm not a doubter. The key is knowledge. What I know and believe about God. I know God is faithful. He watches over his word to perform it. He is the Savior. He is my Savior. He is my healer. He is my Redeemer. He is my financier. Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. be made a curse for me. And because I renew my mind with the Word of God, my life is transformed. I'm changed. I am who God says I am. I have what God says I have. And I can do what God says I can do. Why don't you stand to your feet and thank God for it tonight? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Isn't God good? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Did you receive anything tonight? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Well, it's 8 o'clock.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it helped you. You can visit our website at gocfc.com to listen to other life-giving messages, read the pastor's blog, or to find out how you can be a part of an upcoming service. We hope to hear from you or see you soon. God bless and have a wonderful day.